If you're just joining us, this is Sound Effect. I'm Gabriel Spitzer, and today we're telling stories about people who know how to hustle. College is really expensive, and if you're lucky, you have parents who set up a college fund. Gracelyn Shibayama is our member relations coordinator here at KNKX, and when she was 17, she had a college fund, but then she got an email from her parents.
We had to use your college fund to pay for Calvin's rehab. So at that point, it was like, oh, okay, so if I want to go to college, which I thought that was going to be there, I'm going to have to start thinking about it now.
Gracelyn's family was falling apart. And now the money that she was relying on to help pay for her future was suddenly gone. But Gracelyn was determined not to let that derail her. She resolved to find the thousands of dollars she would need for tuition at the University of Washington's Bothell campus. But to do that, she would need to hustle. In her case, that meant telling complete strangers about some of the darkest moments of her life.
Financial aid offices are my really good friends. I spent a lot of time in those offices, and I found out that I could apply for something called a hardship circumstance.
So how did you go about negotiating that? What did you do?
I started with having to get letters from my loved ones, guidance counselors, therapists, and just basically stating that she definitely needs help and she does not have financial support.
You're giving evidence, essentially.
Yes.
So what did you tell them? For example, what did you say about what happened when you were 16?
I wrote a letter about the situation that was happening within my family. I shared a lot of emails with them that my parents had written to me, which were pretty heartbreaking. And so I had to reread those letters to figure out which ones were the best ones to send along.
What can you tell me about the nature of the conflict in your family?
Well, there was some drug use. My brother had gotten involved with some drugs, and so that created a little bit of a rift between myself and him. We used to be very close. We were my best friends growing up. So when he started doing heroin, I started feeling a little like, whoa, maybe I don't want to support this part of what my brother's doing. And so I started being kind of vocal about it. My parents felt that I was spreading malicious rumors about him and not actually helping. And so it was a 3-1 at that point.
What was the last straw?
One night, I came home a little bit late from curfew, and I got into a lot of trouble for being late. And at that time, I was smoking cigarettes, and my mother did not approve of that at all. And so she dumped out my purse and found a pack of cigarettes and a lighter and started screaming at me. And then my brother came home from a quote-unquote doctor's appointment that he said he had. So he took money from my parents to go to this doctor's appointment and came back with a pill bottle saying I got a new prescription that happened to have a date that was like a year old on it. And so they knew that he was not using that money to go to the doctor. It created this huge yelling match between myself and my brother and my mother. And then she said, I f-ing hate you and I hope you die. Get out of my house. I never want to see you again. So Calvin and I left.
What do you remember about what was going through your head at that time?
I remember it being really scary and it really sucked. And that was actually the first time I saw my brother do heroin in front of me because he was so stressed out because we didn't know where we were going or what we were doing. So he took me to one of my coworkers' houses, and I stayed there for a few days. And when I got home, my mother had told me, you can no longer live in our house. I'm adopted. I was adopted from Paraguay when I was one. And so my options from my mother were, we will put you back in foster care, you can live on the streets, or you can go to Mercer Island and live with your aunt and uncle, and we can try to salvage the family. So there wasn't really any option there. It was going to Mercer Island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you feel like saying about your brother and what happened to him?
I miss him. So my brother passed away 5 years ago this year, April 28th, 2012. And it was of an overdose. It wasn't a shock. I'd kind of always had it in the back of my mind that one of these days I was going to get the phone call that my brother had passed. And I was so ready for it. And then I got the phone call and I broke down. You can never be ready for something like that. I mean, we weren't the best of friends towards the end of his life because of everything that had happened, but he'll always be my big brother.
I'm really sorry, Gracelyn. Did that have an effect on your relationship then with your parents? You must have had to encounter them in the wake of that.
I emailed my father because he was a little more level-headed. I emailed him and said, I'm so sorry for the loss of Calvin. And then he wrote me back, and I didn't respond for a few days. I hadn't seen the email. And when I went to respond, it had apparently been too long of a time. So he was already angry that I didn't respond instantly. And his response was, I wanted to meet with you, but since you are not responding to us, we never want to see you again. You abandoned the family, and you abandoned your brother. And then we were told that they weren't going to have any kind of memorial service for him, but they did have one. And that shattered me. So I struggle every day thinking how I can say goodbye to my brother.
So the process of going back through all that stuff, reliving it, putting it all in an email with these kind of bureaucrats on the other end of your email chain.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff that you had to share was so intimate, but it's in this such a strange context. It's like you're sharing it, something you might normally share with your therapist or your counselor or your close loved ones. Now you're sharing it with like the admin people at the University of Washington. I mean, what made you think it was worth it?
I'm a pretty hard-headed person. And when my college fund was taken away, it was almost like, well, I don't need you anyway. I'm going to do it on my own. So I was able to do it with the love and support of other people.
Yeah. So tell us what happened.
I ended up getting financial assistance, and I got my entire college paid for with grants and scholarships, and I graduated without any student loans. So that's pretty remarkable.
And do you feel like you learned anything or got any insights from that weird exercise of having to dredge it up?
Oh, yeah. I was a really good student. I was not about to let any of my grades fall at all, because if I started failing, I would have to start paying money back. That money that they gave me was only there if I actually completed college. So it made me really value my education, and I was determined to say, you know, I can do anything without financial help. As long as I have love in my life, I know I'll be able to accomplish it. I love my aunt and uncle. I don't know where I would be without them. And I'm one really lucky person to have landed there, to think of all of the families I could have landed with. And then this is where I really found my home. And earlier this year, I decided to take on the last name of my aunt and uncle to feel more connected to them and feel like, you know, this is my family. This is where I belong.
Gracelyn Shibayama is member relations coordinator and bulldog wrangler here at KNKX. Gracelyn, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you.